and in the English, just old King James Bible, it's been around 401 years. Why would you want to change it now? 401 years. I'm like old Billy Sunday, the past famous Presbyterian evangelist. He said, the problem's not with the Bible, it's with you. Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs 22, verse 2, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. I like that. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Let's pray. Father, help us today. We need you. We want your power. We want your presence. We want to know that you are here among us as you promised you would be. We want to see you work, God. We want you to work in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in our lives, in our homes, in our children, in our grandchildren, and in our nation. And God, you have blessed us so much. If we started counting the blessings, we'd be here all day long. And so today, God, we ask you to bless us one more time. Meet with us today as you promised you would. If there's one here that does not know you, reveal yourself to them. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it. Only you, through your word and your spirit, can reveal yourself to them and save them before it's too late. And for those of us that are saved, let us leave out of here and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And whatever happens, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. You know, David prayed, Solomon said this, but David prayed that God would not make him rich or let him be poor. Because if he was rich, he was afraid he would curse God, he wouldn't need God. But if he was poor, he was afraid he would curse God because he didn't have what he needed. So he said, God, what he was saying was, God, just give me what I need. And then in Philippians 4, of course, he says, I will supply all your needs. Now, those of you who have been overseas, you're smarter than most Americans. You're more intelligent. Because you've seen people that realize that possessions are not a sign of possession of God. Amen. We in America, we've been deceived. We've been led to believe through TV and magazines and our society that possessions equate blessings of God. It does not. And when I was growing up, I remember we were real poor, and I thought that the rich people went to church because they had good church clothes, and we didn't. And I thought the rich people went to church because they lived in nice houses, and we didn't. And I thought that they were better than us. And I thought that they were more blessed than us. And that's why they went to church, because they were Christians, because you could see it, because they had all this stuff. And then after I was born again, I realized that those possessions do not equate the blessings of God. It has nothing to do with the blessing of God. Now, don't let some TV preacher ruin you on this, okay? Don't you let people ruin you on this. If you've got a lot of stuff, you'll thank God. I've got a lot of stuff. God, help me to be faithful with what you've given me. If you don't have a lot of stuff, say, well, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He saved me. I'm going to heaven. I got a mansion up there. I can wait. Amen. I'm going to wear robes of white. Amen. I've got a golden crown. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I just got to wait a little while. That's all. But he's promised to supply all your needs from his riches and glory, whether you be rich or poor. Amen? Do not, I'm going to say it again, do not equate stuff with the blessings of God. Now, our verse says, where the rich and the poor meet together. And I got thinking about that. There are some places that the rich and the poor meet together. Now, in our political atmosphere that we're in, you're going to hear a lot about why poor people are poor and rich people are bad. It's not true. There's some good rich people, there's some bad poor people. There's some bad rich people, there's some bad poor people. However you look at it, there's bad people, there's good people. riches have nothing to do with goodness, holiness, righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of the most godly people you will ever meet will be poor people. They have nowhere else to turn. They don't have a bank account. They don't have insurance. They don't have a house. And they live day by day just like Jesus told us to. Live day by day. Don't look what tomorrow may bring forth. You don't know. You better thank God for what you got today. I preached a sermon sometime. I started preaching this morning. 9 out of 10 ain't bad. 9 out of 10 ain't bad. And I go through lists. Your home, your family, your wife, your husband, your children, your church, your pastor. But one of them is this. 9 out of 10. I don't own a five-bedroom house with 3 bedrooms or 4 bedrooms and all this extra stuff. But do you have a house? Yes. Amen. Well, I've never eaten filet mignon. Well, I have. You're not missing a whole lot. Well, redneck barbecued ribs are just as good any day. Amen. And do you have something to eat? Amen. There's another good. And you go down the list and count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. You got something to eat. You got clothes to wear. You got a roof over your head. You got a good church. You got a spouse that loves you. You got children that love you. And we go on and on and on. And so possessions and material things are not what will satisfy you. And there's some places in God's Word that rich people and poor people meet together. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, and it's not in this sermon outline that I've written here, but I'm going to go tell you. I wouldn't go to a church that didn't have both people. Because if you go to a church nothing but rich people, that means they have something against the poor people. And if you go to a church that's all poor people, then they're not doing their job. They're not renting. And by the way, rich is a relative term too. When I say rich, that means they have everything they need. They don't have any needs. I mean, all their needs have been met. So I thank God for the little church on John Street. We have all kind of people here. We've got people here with master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and associate's degrees, and we got some that's just got degrees, 98.6 and 100 degrees. And they don't have a piece of paper, but they got some degrees, amen? We got some that are educated, some are uneducated, some own their house, some rent their house. All kind of people ought to be able to meet at church. And if you're only meeting one kind of people, then there's something wrong. You're unbalanced. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I thank God that we have a balanced church. And nobody shows off what they have, and they don't complain about what they don't have. Amen? Amen. Number one, I want you to know in Romans 5:12, and I want you to turn and mark these scriptures today, okay? Romans 5:12, and I quote it all the time, but I want you to turn there today, and I want you to mark it in your Bible. The rich and the poor meet together because they have the same birth. Everyone on planet Earth, except one, and his name was Jesus, are naturally born by a man and a woman. Every person on planet Earth was born the same way, rich or poor. And there's something else about that birth. Look at Romans 5:12. In verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." Can you see the last part of that verse? "For that," how many? "All have sinned." So everyone, rich and poor, meet together at birth because we are born sinners. I don't care if your daddy's Donald Trump, you were born a sinner. I don't care if your daddy's in the penitentiary, been in and out of jail all his life, he's the quickest man in town. You were born a sinner. I don't care if you're so poor you have to live at the Salvation Army, or if you're so rich you got the biggest house on Snob Hill. You were still born a sinner. We all were born sinners. We have the same birth. We meet together in the hospital. They don't have a rich birth section and a poor birth section. You're just born in the hospital, and when you come out lying. Babies know how to lie immediately. They already know how to lie. They know how to get what they want. They just cry. Ain't nothing wrong with him. They're just crying. You look at the doctor and say, why is he crying? It's nothing. He's just a baby. There ain't nothing wrong with him. His temperature's fine. His fluid is fine. You know, nothing wrong with him. He ain't sick. He's just crying. He's a baby. Why? Because he wants attention. And we learn how to cry that way. And all our life, we cry to get attention. Amen. So you're a sinner, just like everybody else. I don't care if your daddy's got $1 million in the bank or if he owes $1 million to somebody. You are born a sinner. Everybody in this room, everybody in this town, everybody in this county, this state, this country, and this world, whether it's in Puerto Rico or South Carolina, you're born a sinner. Now, that's where we meet together. We're all sinners. We have that in common, Brother Rick. Now, I've known some rich people. I've had a couple millionaire friends. They didn't give me much money, but they were millionaires. Now, I take that back. They did a lot for me. They did a lot for me. And but I'll tell you this. They were just sinners. And I've had friends. What that country singer used to sing, he had friends in low places. I've been to those places. I've got friends there. Amen. And as a Christian, we ought to be that way. We ought to have all kinds of friends. The worst thing they could find wrong with Jesus was they said, he's a friend of sinners. Yes. Yes. We all meet together at birth. We're born sinners. We need a Savior. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have, what you drive, what you don't drive. We are born naturally. Wherefore is by one man, Adam. Are you listening, young people? By Adam we are born. We have the blood of Adam. His blood is tainted with sin. Jesus had the blood of his father. He had no earthly father. He was virgin born. And his blood had no sin in it. Therefore, he could die in our place and pay the sacrifice for our sin, the payment for our sin. And whether you're rich or poor, you need that. And I know I grew up poor. I know a lot of times poor people look at rich people and think, well, they got it made. Boy, they got all this stuff and they have no needs. They have no wants. They can get anything. And I used to look at them and envy them. But you know what? They were born just like I was. A sinner. And by the way, they came in with nothing and they'll take nothing with them when they leave. You got to give it up. I've never seen a U-Haul trailer when I preached a funeral at the graveyard. You're not taking it with you. I used to tell this joke. You probably remember it. These two boys went to a funeral one time, and they were standing beside the graveside. And this rich man, he was a millionaire. He had a convertible Cadillac. And he said, I want to be buried in my Cadillac. So they set him up in that Cadillac and dropped him down into that big old hole to put that Cadillac in. And one of those boys looked at the other boy and said, man, that's living. Hey, living, he's dead. The Cadillac's going to stay right in that ground and he's not taking it anywhere he goes. Amen. We are born sinners. We come in the world sinners, rich or poor, in between. Number two. Hebrews 9:27. Turn there and mark it. I quote it all the time, but I want you to turn there and mark it. Hebrews 9:27. He says this, and some of you already know it. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Did you know rich and poor and everything in between has the same death? They have the same death. They said Howard Hughes, and some of you don't remember him, but he was a real recluse. He was the richer he got, the crazier he got. And a lot of people are like that because they're afraid they're going to lose it, you know. Stay out of my preaching. And they're going to do it. But you know what they said? He owned half of Las Vegas, and he lived in a condo up in one of those towers in Las Vegas. And they said he got so scared of dying, he wouldn't get a haircut anymore because he was afraid somebody would clip his ear and he'd get infected and he'd die. He wouldn't let them cut his fingernails anymore because he was afraid they'd clip his finger, and that he'd get infected and he'd die. They say he wouldn't take a bath. They had to spray him with some disinfectant stuff every day because he was afraid he'd slip in the tub and hit his head and die. He was scared to death of dying. You know why? He had all that stuff, and not one thing that he owned gave him any assurance of heaven. And he knew when he died, the stuff was not going with him. Now, my mama, most of you know, she's in nursing home White Oak Manor there in Lancaster. My mama never owned a house. She's always rented a house. She's never owned an automobile. She's never learned how to drive. She never had a driver's license. My mama worked in the cotton mill. And all her life, she worked in the cotton mill. And she retired at 62 to get her Social Security early because she said, if I don't, I'm probably not going to live long enough to draw Social Security if I keep on working. Now she's 97. I told her the other day, I said, Mom, you deceived yourself by about 35 years. I said, you've drawn out my Social Security and my wife's Social Security and our kids' Social Security. You done drew out about 10 people's Social Security. You've outlived everybody. I said, you've drawn out so much more than you've ever put in. And she kind of giggled. She kind of smiled and giggled, you know. I said, you thought you were going to die before you reached 65. She said, well, I didn't know. Well, let me tell you something. All of us, my mom was poor. When she died, listen, I mean, when she went to nursing home, whenever she went to the nursing home, we went in the house and the furniture was so old and so run down. My nephew Jerry sold some of it, about $10 or $15 for a piece of this, piece of that. Most of it he had to give away. Sold the refrigerator and the washing machine, dryer, stuff like that for very little. She kept nothing. My mama never kept anything. Most places you go, it's got all this stuff. When somebody passes away, go to the nursing home, you have to go through it. Didn't take 15 minutes to go through mama's stuff. She didn't keep anything. Mama, I honestly say the things of this world have very little attraction to my mama. I'll honestly say that. And she was poor all her life. But she never talked about being poor. She never complained about being poor. We always had something to eat. We always had something to wear. We might not have been in style or up to date, but she never complained about it. And I'm going to tell you something. Howard Hughes and my mama have one thing in common. That's death. It is appointed unto mankind, men and women, boys and girls, are you listening? To die. We're going to die. Every one of us. Every one of us has a death sentence hanging over our head. And we don't know when it is. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You don't know, young person, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16. I've seen people your age die. People your age die. You never know. It is appointed. We have an appointment with God. It's set. Now, you can hurry it. You go ahead and you smoke those cigarettes, you smoke dope, drink liquor, you can cut that short. But if you don't and you live out the life that God has appointed you, you will die. I don't care how much you have in the bank or don't have in the bank. I don't care if you're in debt so much that the rent man's knocking at your door every month to try to get his rent. You will die. Donald Trump's going to die. Every one of us, we have that in common. So don't ever think that you're any better or any less than anybody else. You were born just like everybody else, a sinner. You have an appointment just like everybody else. You're going to die. And after this, the judgment, every one of us has that. We have that in common. I used to be intimidated by people that had stuff and means. I was intimidated. But after I got saved and began to read the Bible, I met the God of the universe, the God that owns it all. He owns the cattle of the 1,000 hills, all the gold that's in the hill, all the oil that's in the ground, and all the rubies and the diamonds. He owns it all. You know what? I'm going to inherit it. I'm a child of the King. He's coming back and He's going to appoint me over things. And I am no less than anybody else. But on the other hand, I'm no better than anybody else either. Now, most of you know I sold life insurance and other types of insurance for years and years to supplement my income as a pastor. And the greatest compliment I ever had was from my manager at the office one day. We had meetings on Friday. Are you listening? And at that meeting, I just started, and the Lord was really blessing. Everybody needs life insurance. If you ain't got it, you ought to get it. You're doing your loved ones a disservice if you don't have it. So I just go out and meet people and talk to people, and I'd go with him sometime. Now, he only worked among the upper crust. He shot for the big dollars. He'd go all week for one big giant sale policy. I'd go all over Chester to sell $20 a month's policy, you know. But I'd get 10 of those, where you get one of that $200 a month. And so we were having a meeting one day, and he said, "Ron Roddy's the hardest working insurance salesman we've ever had." And he said, "I'm going to tell you something about him. He can talk to anybody." He said, "Doesn't matter if they're rich or they're poor. He can talk to anybody." Now, what he was saying was he didn't know how to talk to poor people. I did. You know how you sell insurance, life insurance to poor people? You say, "This ain't going to cost you but about $1 a day. Do you drink Pepsi-Cola every day?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's $1.35. You can buy one of these policies and have life insurance. Your wife won't have to cry trying to borrow the money to put you in the ground or burn you up." $1 a day, is that all it costs? Yep, about $10 a week. Because they don't think of month, $40 a month. They think of daily and weekly. And I'd sell that. And then I'd go to rich people's house and I'd say, "You know, you can have this for $200 a month." And they said, "Well, that ain't nothing. I can swing $200 a month." And I talked to them the same way I talked to the poor people. "How's your youngins? How's your job?" Everybody hates their job. But the point is, if you start looking at people the way God looks at people, you'll see it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. Well, at the foot of the cross, we're all on level ground. God's not impressed with you. And he's also not embarrassed by you. It doesn't embarrass him that you're poor. He's your maker. He's your creator. He's your savior. He's your sustainer. And listen, he's not impressed if you got a lot of money, because he's the one that gave you the position to get the money. Hey, we're all going to meet together. We meet together at birth. We meet together at death. And then real quick, 2 Peter 3:10. Y'all not listening fast enough today. Verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away." 2 Peter 3:10. "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in therein shall be burned up." Rich and poor together will meet the same doom. Y'all girls so impressed by those stinking country singers and rap singers and pop singers. Let me tell you something, Brother Jeffrey. The ground under their feet's going to melt the same way it's melting under mine, your feet. And the Lord's going to appear one day, and the earth's going to melt, and the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll. And everybody that ever was born or ever has been born, they're going to stand out there in nothing and stand before a holy God. And everything you got or you didn't have will not amount to anything, because it will not exist anymore. And everybody will be on level ground. And your position or your prestige or your possessions will not influence God in one bit, not one bit, not one area. Everybody will meet the same doom. This earth's not here forever. It has a limited time, and it's going to go. Then where's your stuff going to be? And then all that stuff you wanted, where's it going to be? Amen? It's not going to be here. And then another one, real quick, Luke 4:18. Turn to Luke 4:18. Underline it. Now, the young people, don't be impressed and don't be embarrassed. I used to be embarrassed about where I grew up. I was embarrassed about my family. I was embarrassed about what we didn't have. Don't be that way. Hey, thank God that you have what you have. And don't be ashamed of who you are. God made you that way. If he wants to change it, he will. You seek him. Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, the rich and the poor, not only the same birth, same death, same doom, but you know we've all got the same deliverance. If you're going to go to heaven, there's only one way to go. And listen, the Lord came to preach to the poor, number one, because they need more than just a spiritual Savior. They also need a material Savior too. But He came to preach to the poor, but He came to preach deliverance to the captives. And what that means is every one of us is a captive to sin, and we need deliverance from sin by the power of a resurrected Savior. And every one of us needs that. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or in between. We all need deliverance from sin, every one of us. And, you know, money may cover up sin a little bit better, but it's still sin. I don't care how you paint it. Jesus looked at a bunch of those religious Pharisees. He said, "You're just a bunch of whited sepulchers. That's all you are." And what that means is they were just whitewashing the tombstone. That's all they was doing. A sepulcher is where you put a dead person. It's a little box, and you have to keep it painted. He said, "Y'all just full of dead men's bones. You're just a whited sepulcher. You're no better than those other dead people out there." My wife told me this morning, said, "You dress up good. You're a handsome man." Don't tell her. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. She's that love's blind. Love's blind. But you know what? Clothes do not a man make. Now, I did find this when I first started preaching. You can go in a hospital with blue jeans and t-shirt on, say, "I'm the pastor of such and such church. I need to see somebody." And they'll look at you and say, "I don't know if I'm going to let you in here or not. But I can put on a nice suit and have a nice haircut and a nice shave and brush my teeth. And I can go in a jail, a hospital, and you know, most of the time they don't ask me a question. I can walk in places." I went to this place one time, and we were in this Chinese restaurant, and this little man looked up at me. He said, "Are you a doctor?" I said, "No, I'm not a doctor." He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "Oh, you have lots of money." That's what he said. I said, "No." I thought he didn't understand me, so I got louder. You know how when people speak another language you can't speak, you just get louder. It ain't deaf, they just speak. I said, "No." I said, "I am a Baptist preacher." He said, "You have TV program?" I said, "No, I don't have no TV program." He said, "Get you a TV program. People send you lots of money." No, I did. Hey, I have realized that you put on a good suit of clothes, you can get a lot of things done that you can't get done if you run around like a slob. Now, if you dress homeless, they're going to treat you homeless. But if you dress nice, people will treat you with more respect. And even poor people can be clean and wear clean clothes. Amen? I saw a news report. This man and these politicians are saying, "These people steal and they rob banks because they're poor and it's poverty." I said, "No, sir, I've known a lot of poor people didn't rob a stinking bank or kill people. Poverty has nothing to do with it. A lot of good poor people." Amen. I've been one myself. Amen. Let me tell you something. We all need the same deliverance. And you might get out of jail a little earlier if you got money. But you're no less guilty. Amen. You need the same deliverance that poor guy that was in the cell with you needs. And as sinners, we all need a Savior. Amen. Another thing, real quick, I want you to look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll just about be through. We're on our way to KFC. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to me. Mark it. You young people, listen. Now, you young people, this could be one of the most helpful messages you ever heard, because as a teenager, you are intimidated, you are embarrassed, because people look at you and you think they're judging you by what you have and what you don't have. They're not. Galatians 4:1. They're judging you by who you are, not what you have. And Christian, if you judge people by what they have, you're not right with God. You better judge them by who they are, not what they have. A lying, low-down, sorry, crooked drug dealer has stuff. And some of them have lots of stuff. That lying, low-down guy that owns and runs a liquor store has stuff. That doesn't make it from God. I told y'all that. I'm fits in good right here. This fellow told me he won at bingo. He won $400 at bingo. He said, "Lord, let me win $400. I said, "The Lord didn't give you that $400. I said, "You was gambling." People tell me, they say, "Preacher, if I ever hit the lottery, I'm going to tithe it and we'll build a new building." And I want to look at him and say, "If you just tithe the $100 he'd give you, it would help. You wait and get a million. You're not going to tithe a million if you ain't tithing 100. I'll tell you that right now. You're too stingy to tithe 100. You're not going to tithe a million." I just threw that in there for free. That one didn't cost you nothing. Listen. Every one of us, Galatians 4:1, look at it. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." Now, every one of us that are born again, we are heirs to a kingdom of God. We will inherit the kingdom of God. But he's saying, you are no better than those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as long as you're an heir, you haven't got it yet. You're still a servant. Now, shame on you if you treat people bad when you go to a restaurant and that person waiting on your table, you treat them bad and disrespectful. You're no better than they are. You'll be nice to everybody. Everybody's having a bad day. I've seen some of the worst things I've ever seen was Christians that'll get up, sing in church, testify, even preach, and demean and belittle some poor little old girl trying to keep up a family on tips. And they don't leave a stinking thing. Well, she's getting paid. She's getting paid $1.35 an hour, I think it is now. Shame on you. And the reason you do that, you think you're better than she is. And you're not. You haven't inherited your kingdom yet. Now, God's got a lot for us as believers. It's coming. But we ain't there yet. And we're still just like the servants. We're no better than they are. We have nothing. We have nothing. So, well, I have a house, and I have these two cars. And one good storm will blow away everything we have. Go out there to Los Angeles and ask them what some little spark will do. Go to Louisiana and ask them what a few raindrops will do. Our lives are in the balances every day. We're no better than anybody else, and we all meet together. And I don't care if you go to the church uptown that costs $5 million or you go over there to a little old church on John Street that's built in 1949. And we're holding it together with putty and paint. I don't care. We have the same Savior, every one of us. And He leads both of us to the same heaven. Whether you're the servant or you're the owner, we're all going to the same heaven by the same Savior. People get mad at people at church. I said, "Well, look, you don't want to go to heaven. You got to go to heaven with these people." And I said, "You don't want to go to hell because that crowd you've made mad is probably already there." You need to get this settled. We're going to the same heaven. We need to learn how to get along. Amen. I don't care if you're black, white, striped, polka dotted, or purple. I don't care who you are. Hey, I don't care who your mama was, your daddy was. I don't care where you come from. I'm more concerned about where you're going. I don't care if you live on Snob Hill or over there on Green Street. Don't make no difference to me. Amen? Where do rich and poor meet together? It was at birth. It's going to be at death. All of us are going to meet the same doom. The earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. So we all need the same deliverance, and we all need the same Savior. Hebrews 2:9. I'll quit. Hebrews 2:9. Listen. Look at verse 9. You got it? "Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now, you know what? You can do all the... you can have all the money in the world and give all the sacrifices that you want, and it's not going to make you perfect. I'm sorry. That was Hebrews 2:9. And then once you go to 9, you go to 27, it says it is appointed unto man once to die. Now look, you do all you want to, and it's not going to, are you listening? It's not going to help you one bit in the end. Now you do all the sacrificing, you do all the giving, you do all, you give your body to be burned, Apostle Paul said, and it's not going to help you without Jesus Christ. Because it's appointed unto man wants to die, Hebrews 9:27. Now, Matthew, are you listening? I probably read the wrong scripture a while ago. Matthew, well, you can't be a perfect preacher either. Matthew 6:33 says this, and I can't even read my own writing sometimes. Hebrews 9:27 says I'm going to die. But Matthew, listen, 6:33 says, but seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now look, don't get hung up on that last verse. Listen to me. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, preach, does that mean I'm going to get a new Maserati? No, you're going to have to settle for a Pontiac. I don't know. You might. I don't know. Does that mean that I'm going to get a new house? I don't know. You might. But I'm going to tell you this. If you'll seek the kingdom of God first, He'll add everything you need to you. You'll get a new heart, new mind, new spirit. But people are so hung up on what people have and what people don't have. And the political scene has divided the rich from the poor and the black from the white. And everything in this world makes it look like if you're poor, there's something wrong with you. And if you're rich, you must be right with God. And every bit of that's wrong. You got to say, hey, we're on level ground, rich and poor people. And by the way, stop right here. Don't glory in poverty either. Just because you're poor don't make you right with God either. You ain't no better than the rich man that owns the liquor store. A lot of people, they think because they're poor that they're suffering for Jesus. It could be you just don't work regular. It could be you just ain't getting out of bed on time. Amen? It could be you're wasting a lot of what God does give you. Come on. You're no better than rich people just because you're poor, and you're no better than poor people just because you're rich. What you ought to do is look up to heaven and say, praise be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Amen? Because He's give you everything you've got, but the most important thing are spiritual things, and if you'll seek that first, God will take care of you. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I've never seen anybody that was thoroughly right with God, living right with God, talking, walking right with God, that had any need that God did not meet. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes He gives you a little extra. And I'll preach on that one day, handfuls on purpose. He'll just throw you a little extra over there. You've been good, Billy. Here, take a little bit of this. And don't go to Florida with it. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to look at this cross, and then I want you to think about the ground in front of that cross. There's no high ground, and there's no low ground. We all come to the cross the same way, admitting we're sinners, deserving the devil's hell, but confessing ourselves as such, and not looking to what we have or what we don't have as blessing or cursing, but looking to the Savior for eternal life. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this ain't heaven. You're not in heaven. Well, preacher, I got it pretty good. Well, you'll thank God. This is as close as you're ever going to be to hell right here. And while you're having it good, there's somebody in Louisiana just lost everything they had. And while you're doing good, there's somebody in California just lost everything they had. And what you'll do is look up to heaven and say, thank God you let me have what I've got, and I'm going to be faithful with it, and I'm going to be a good steward of it, and I'm not going to consider myself any better or any worse than anybody else. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. I need a shepherd. Lord, help me. By the way, some of you are just living off the blessings of somebody else. Because your mama's right with God, you got it made. Because your daddy's right with God, you've got it made. Because grandma and grandpa maybe is right with God, you got it made. But let me tell you something, mama ain't going to be around all the time. You're going to have your own religion. Grandma and grandpa's not going to live forever. You're going to have to, you're going to have to find God for yourself. Sooner or later, you're going to have to get it settled. Why not today? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.